If there's any distraction, remove it from you. I don't want you to miss verse 10. It needs to be embedded in your soul, embedded in your heart. It needs to be there forever, because I want you to look what God willed, not only for them, but for you and for me.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, and thank you for tuning in as we begin a new week of Bible study. Today, Pastor Bill continues his study of the Epistle of Hebrews. Now, Pastor shows us from God's Word that animal sacrifices could never completely deal with human guilt. A better sacrifice was desperately needed because the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins. It could only cover sin and postpone judgment, but could never bring about a once-and-for-all redemption. Only a better sacrifice of the Son of God could do that. So let's join Pastor now with today's message, A Better Sacrifice.
Amen. Isn't God good? So good to see you this morning. You know, I tell you, this book, no, it's not a book. It's a letter of encouragement. Remember? Hebrews 13:22. The writer of Hebrews sends it out as a letter of exhortation. Hebrews, this incredible study, it's not to discourage any of us or any of the Jewish believers of the first century who left Judaism to embrace Jesus Christ as their true Messiah. It's to encourage us to keep pressing on. Amen? Even with all the horrible warnings, especially the one we're going to study next Sunday, the Lord willing, man, I mean, it's one of the most severe found in God's Word. But we're going to understand what it really means. Now, remember that we're studying now this incredible priesthood, if you will, of our Lord. And what began in chapter 7, verse 1, okay, that runs all the way to chapter 10, verse 18, okay, if you will, it's been an incredible study. We learned in chapter 7 that Jesus, he has a better priesthood. Chapter 8, we learned about the better covenant, which is the new covenant. Chapter 9, about the better sanctuary or the better tabernacle in heaven. Now, as we conclude the doctrinal study, if you will, now we move into application. But as we finish the doctrinal study of Hebrews this morning, it's important to remember as we move into the better sacrifice that Jesus' sacrifice is superior to any sacrifice that has ever been made. Amen? The thousands and thousands of sacrifices that occurred over the 15 years of the Levitical priesthood, love one, nothing can equal that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, the writer of Hebrews, you know, he didn't put chapter 10 in there. Between 9 and 10, man did that. So really, he continues now in chapter 10. He's going to continue with the first 4 verses with what we left off last Sunday, with that Jesus is the superior sacrifice and so forth. So if there's ever been a message on a Father's Day that we, every person, every man, every woman, every person within the sound of my voice, if there's ever been a message from heaven that you need to get into your heart, it's these 18 verses. So with all that being said, we're going to look at the better sacrifice this morning, but let's do something. Let's begin with verse 27 in chapter 9. It says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." And he moves right into chapter 10. He says, "For this reason, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never, with these same sacrifices, the Levitical sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach" what? Perfect. So the law, we've already learned here, for example, that the law is a shadow, if you will, but is in contrast now, the writer, with an image. Now, to have a shadow, if you're going to have a shadow, what do you have to have a shadow? You have to have the light. So the shadow pointed to the reality, which would be the light of the world, amen, Jesus Christ. It pointed to the one who kept the law and the only person who ever kept the law. Now, an image, when you think of an image, like if I got out my iPhone, which I would never carry into the pulpit because it has a piece of an apple eaten out of it. Genesis 3, you know, never mind. And if I took a picture of Mario, he's smiling, you got it, boom. And then, in other words, I could pull it up and I say, oh, wow, that's a photo. That's not a shadow. Remember when you were in school, y'all remember that, how they would, what did they put the light and they trace you on the black and they cut it out and it was just a black picture of you? Is that right? What was that called? I didn't understand it, never mind. Now, and so, you know, the thing is, if I pulled up that photo of Mario, I went, oh, man, look at that shirt he's wearing. So crisp, so clean. Ooh, look at that hair. I mean, it, you know, it'd be perfect. In other words, I can see the features and the characteristics. But if he walked up here behind me and in the light and cast a shadow on the floor, I would go, who is that? What is that? Now, if Pastor Marshall did that with a cowboy hat on, I'd know who it was immediately. You see what I'm getting at? So we're talking about the realities and so forth. So the thing that we need to do to remember is the shadow cannot give you the reality. It can only point to the reality. So that word image is important this morning. It means the real thing, the exact copy, if you will. You remember in Matthew's gospel, chapter 22, verse 17, remember when the Pharisees and the religious rulers, they came to test Jesus? And they said, Jesus, listen, you know, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? Is it lawful to pay taxes to America? You know what I mean? And he says, and Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Don't you love the Lord? I mean, can I use that sometime? All right. Let me read it again. I like it so much. Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, here it comes. Whose image and inscription is this? And they said, it's Caesar's. That word image is the same word used here in verse 1. So when you looked at that coin, you knew who exactly it was. But if you were seeing a shadow of that coin, would you know? No, of course not. Now, so the law was just a pale shadow, an outline. No difference if you see a shadow of a tree. I mean, you may know it's a tree, but you couldn't say, is it a sycamore tree? Or you follow me. It's just a shadow. And so the thing is, it was the shadow of the image of the good things to come. And who is the good thing who is coming? Jesus. Let me give you the scripture. It says in Hebrews 9:11, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Now, key in again on verse 1, and look what these sacrifices could never do. And can never with these sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year. Now, we know that must be pointing to the Day of Atonement, because the high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, behind the veil with the incense. Remember, we studied that out. Only how many times a year? Only one time a year. So it says, all these sacrifices that they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach what? Perfect. In other words, completely and fully cleansed from sin. Now, the sacrifices lack the power to make the sinner perfect, if you would, in the eyes of God. So they, along with us, they needed more than a shadow to approach God. It says there, look at it, those who approach. That means they want to come to the Lord. They want to go worship the Lord. They want to draw near to the Lord. But they couldn't, because only the high priest could go in, and he can only draw one time a year. And so that was the problem. So a shadow cannot make those who approach perfect, because the law, as we've already learned, makes nothing perfect. So the shadow always points to the reality, but it has no substance in itself. Like I said earlier, or in the first service, if I have a shadow of a key, it could be a perfect shadow, but I'm going to tell you what, that shadow will never unlock your door, will it? No, and that's exactly what's going on here. So what was the purpose then, before we really get into our message? What was the purpose of the law? What was the purpose of the shadow? It was to point us to the reality, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who's actually casting the shadow, the last and perfect sacrifice for mankind. Now, It says in verse 2, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered?" In other words, if they could make somebody perfect in the eyes of God, then why are they still being offered? He says, "For the worshipers once purified," a very important word. That word means cleansed, okay? It means pure, completely without stain or spot. It says, "For the worshipers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sins." Now, we know that only the blood of Jesus can wash away or cleanse our sins. Amen? There's just no other way. Only the blood of Jesus can make the spirit of an individual, our spirit, the human spirit, where His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We're the sons of God, daughters of God. Amen? Only the blood can make it perfect in His eyes. Now, we know that the Bible teaches us, what is it in 1 John 1:7? "For if we walk in the light, as He," meaning God, "as He is in the light, we have koinonia," we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus does something, right? Cleanses us, the same word, cleanses us from all sin. Same chapter, verse 9 of 1 John. He says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness," and that happens by the blood of Jesus. Now, verse 3, "But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder," meaning the Levitical sacrifices, "a reminder of sins every year." That speaks again of the Day of Atonement. We have already learned that the blood of bull and goats, the only thing they could do was atone for sins, I mean to cover sins. They never did remove sins. So there was always a reminder. If I was a Jewish person back then, every year I would have to go again and again. It's a reminder that I'm still sinning against God. Now, with all that being said, what was the reason for that? Well, let's look at verse 4. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could do what? Take away sins." Three important words this morning. Now, you know, when it says "not possible," that word literally means powerless. The law was powerless to do so. It could not do that at all. It's the same word that's used in Hebrews 6:18 when it says it's impossible for God to lie, or Hebrews 11:6 when it says without faith it's impossible to please God. So it's absolutely impossible. Now listen to me. For a Jewish believer back then under the old covenant, no matter how much he loved God, no matter how sincere he was, no matter how repentant he was of whatever he had done, no matter how he tried to keep the law of Moses, how perfectly he may have tried to keep it, it wasn't going to do any good. It wasn't possible that the blood of bull and goats would take away their sin. But what was impossible, God made possible through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, remember last Sunday when we talked about the ashes of the red heifer, remember? And how the heifer had to be red, and it was the only offering in the Bible that gave the color description, and they had to take it outside of the camp. They burned it all with the blood in it, okay? And then those ashes would be taken and all the ingredients and then sprinkled upon the people, and they would become pure. Let me read it to you. Hebrews 9:13. "If the blood and bull and goats, ashes of the red heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies, purifies for the purifying of the flesh." Now, remember, the blood of bull and goats externally only cleansed the flesh, okay? But that was a shadow. And remember what I told you? If the ashes of a red heifer, if it could purify and cleanse an Old Testament Jew, and God would say, "Yes, you are cleansed," is that powerful? Man, I mean, listen, man, how much more the true reality, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, with the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen? So the shadow was external. The reality is internal. Verse 14 of chapter 9. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God," here's this word, "cleanse your conscience from dead works." And in context, dead works would be the end of this Levitical priesthood, if you will, "to serve the living God." And so last Sunday I told you, your conscience, if you're in Christ, has no right to accuse you anymore because God says, "I have eternally cleansed you." Amen? Now, with all that being said, look again at verse 4, and I want you to really get this into your heart now. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats, in these three important words, take away sin. Now, look at verse 26 of chapter 9. You're right there. It says, "But now at the end of the ages, Jesus has appeared to put away sin, there it is again, by the sacrifice of himself. I want you to read one of my favorite commentators. His name is William Newell, who did an incredible commentary on Hebrews, which I love dearly, by the way. And let me read what he said about the taking away of sins. He writes and he says, "Because the once for all putting away of sin forever from God's sight is so seldom and so feebly grasped by Christian believers, these Levitical, often repeated sacrifices are taken as a setting forth for Christian experience. Thus, even our Lord's priesthood is in the heart of hearts for most Christians somehow connected with atonement." Where in other words, oh gosh, I've sinned, but my sin is just, it's just covered. It's not forgotten or any of those things. You know, he says, if it were told to the average Christian today, Jesus is in heaven and he will never put away another sin for you. He says, Newell says, it would strike him with real terror. And he tells us why. For he has not rested in the once and for all putting away sin at the cross concerning which Christ has said. And what did Jesus say at the cross? It's finished. Verse 12 of this chapter we're in says this, one sacrifice for sins forever. Now listen very carefully. The word take away, it means in the Greek, it means to grab, it means to seize, it literally means to take something away from the person. It means literally the removal of something from its normal location, okay? Stedman put it this way. He says, to make perfect a sinner before God would be to have sin and its effects totally removed from the sinner. Totally removed. Where it has been grasped and jerked away from you and removed from you. Let me give you another scripture. 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus himself bore our sins. He did, not you. He did it for us. Amen? The word bore means as a sacrifice, they were now placed on another and they are gone. They've been taken away. He bore our sins. How? In his own body, in his own body, on the tree, on the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Right now. So he was wounded that you might be healed. Amen? Now listen very carefully. Our sins have been removed from our person. Now, the flesh, is it the flesh redeemed? No, our flesh is not redeemed. Our inner man, is it redeemed? Absolutely. Our spirit, again, our spirit bears witness with his spirit, okay? Now, so well, I'm not talking about your flesh right now. I'm talking about who you are inside, the real you. This out here is perishing. Our inner man is being renewed day by day, right? Okay. Now, listen very, very carefully. They have been removed from us, and they have been placed on the substitute, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I want you to get this taking away. If there's any word that I want you to get, this is one of the words this morning. The power of that word taking away, which means to remove from you personally. Remove from you completely. Now, you remember when Jesus, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he arrives and told the disciples, okay, you know, they'd been sleeping. He said, go, you know, our betrayer is at hand. He steps out, going out of the garden. Of course, Judas and all the rest of them come. And they're going to arrest him. And it says in Matthew 26:51, and behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword, and he struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Cut off his ear. Well, Peter, you know how he is, you know. Now listen to me. The word cut off is the exact same word that I just read to you here in our text this morning. It means to remove completely, take away completely. Now listen to me. For us to go into, to go to the throne of grace, to have boldness, to go into the holiest, which is the Holy of Holies, you cannot have any sin. The presence of sin cannot be there because you're going into the presence of God. It had to be removed. Well, that's why the high priest Aaron, what did he have to do? He had to get the censer and the smoke and all that and hide him lest he die himself. Because he had sin. He had to make sacrifices for sin for himself before he could ever go in there. He had to sprinkle that blood. Now listen very carefully. You look at this right here, and here's what I want you to understand. Our sins have been removed. They have been taken away. And now, listen, my grandfather, his name was Woody Thomas Pierce. He was kind of a different kind of individual. He's a farmer, okay? And boy, you obeyed him. I mean, when he told you to do something, you better do it. I mean, and I learned the hard way. You know what I mean? No, I did. That's another story. Now, but he was a practical joker. And his sister worked in the mail post office. And, you know, back then you'd go and there was like a little bars and you'd get your mail or whatever from, and they'd find it. Anyway, so he went there, give me my mail, sis, and stuck his hand in there and said, she said, Woody, you stick your hand in there again, I'm going to cut it off. And he said, well, you're not going to do anything like that. And he said, here. And he put his finger out. She pulled out a hatchet and chopped his finger off right there. That's my family. Now, listen, that finger was removed from his what? His body. It never came back. Do you understand? I never saw that again. And you know how he corrected me? With that stub. No, it's the truth. He loved to do that to me. And that hurt. You know, a little bony finger, you know? But the thing is, what I'm trying to get at is our sin has been taken away. It's been removed from us. See, it's been severed. It's been cut off. It's not on us anymore. Are you with me? Oh, praise God. And I say, oh, Lord, you've got to be kidding me. No, it has been done, man. It is over. And when we go into the presence of God, we go in as if we had not ever sinned. Why? Because we have been justified. Do you understand? Declared like as if you had never sinned. That's what justification means. It means that he looks at you now. He takes the spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ. And when you believe in him and you call Jesus, be my Lord, immediately you are justified before God in heaven. That is your declared holy position before God. Just as if you have never sinned and he sees you in Christ as if you kept the law, as if you did everything pleasing in his sight, as if you have never done one wrong thing. Amen. Now, is that powerful? That's a Father's Day message right there. I say, oh God, you're so good. Now look what happens in verse 5. Therefore, based on everything I just told you, now, when he came into the world, in other words, from heaven, from another world, when God became man, he's going to quote here Psalm 40, a messianic psalm, Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, okay? So it says, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering, you do not desire. Well, what does God desire? He says, but a body you have prepared for whom? Is that a capital M in your Bible? Okay, that's speaking of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. So he's talking about a physical body. In other words, he is the God-man. He was virgin born. Now, so the writer here, what I just read, the writer is quoting from the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And the reason I told you that is because if you read Psalm 40, verse 6, it doesn't say a body you've prepared. What it says was an ear you have opened, but it's the same meaning, okay? So when you open the ear, it means total readiness. It means to have an ear to hear God and obey the will of God, okay? Jesus obeyed God in everything he did, God his Father. Isaiah, a messianic verse, Isaiah 50, verse 5, the Lord has opened my ear and I was not rebellious. I did exactly what he wanted me to do. He says, nor did I turn away, meaning I didn't turn away from the cross. And he goes on, I gave my back to those who struck me, meaning the Roman soldiers and the scourging. He gave my cheek to those who plucked out my beard. Remember how the Romans plucked out his beard. And he says, I didn't hide my face from shame and spitting. Now listen, a body you have prepared for me. But for what purpose? For him to be born, the God-man, and to come into this world and be butchered on the cross by men and willingly be butchered and take the sins of the world. Amen? That's what that was all about. So God gave a body to fulfill his perfect will on this planet, and Jesus did so.
Well, Pastor Bill will conclude this message on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thanks, everyone, for spending this time with us. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. We'll If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.